We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and also 96.5 TIC. Today we're going to be talking about hunger, food insecurity, and ways to combat it with Connecticut's food share. We've got the president and CEO, Jason Jacobowski, on the line. Good morning, Jason. How are you? Thank you for being here.
I'm good, Morgan. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Glad you're joining us. Could you give us just a general update? What have you guys been up to? It's been a little while since we've chatted.
Well, there's definitely been a lot. We've been up to quite a bit. Serving the entire state of Connecticut here, all 169 towns. Definitely a daunting task, and things have not been. I'd say things have not been perfect over the last couple of years by any stretch of the imagination. That might be a bit of an understatement. Coming out of COVID, obviously we're still dealing with the economic effects of COVID, and I think we always said that during the pandemic is that, you know, what we were addressing was not necessarily the virus itself. It was the economic effects of the virus, and we're still seeing those economic effects. Add into it inflation and a number of other economic issues, and there's still a lot of people in need here in the state of Connecticut. The good news is that there are less people who are food insecure today than there were at the peak of the pandemic. The bad news, of course, though, is that we are not still back to where we were in terms of pre-pandemic numbers. So, there's still a lot more work to do here in Connecticut.
And how do you guys judge the need? Is it by the number of people who call and say they need help, go to drives where they can get food? How do you guys measure that?
It's a number called people who are food insecure. It's a number prepared for us by Feeding America and given to every state. You can actually break it down by county. In fact, it is obviously an estimate based on a number of different factors, including economy, including number of people who have signed up for SNAP benefits, including employment rates, and then obviously factoring in the number of people that go to that do utilize our services. So, but right now in the state of Connecticut, there's about 425,000 people who are estimated to be food insecure.
Where was that pre-COVID? Do you have any figure for that?
Yeah, pre-COVID, that was probably about 375,000. At the peak of COVID, it was well over 500,000. So that kind of gives you an idea in terms of where we are. The number is better off than it was at the peak of COVID, but it's still not back to where we were pre-COVID, and that's understandable because, you know, first of all, COVID, you know, is not completely done. We are still dealing with yet another remnant of the or another variant of the virus. But we're also dealing with the post-COVID economy, which affects a lot of different people in a lot of different ways, and has definitely affected food insecurity.
So if we're challenged with the issue of getting back to pre-COVID levels or even better than that, what are some of the ways, and maybe this is the million-dollar question of the morning here, speaking with the president and CEO of Connecticut's Food Share, Jason Jacobowski on Face Connecticut, what can be done to get us back to some of those better, earlier pre-COVID levels?
Well, I tend to think that, I mean, obviously, you know, investing in food banks and food rescue organizations and our network of 650 pantries out there in the state of Connecticut, that is essential. But for every meal that we're able to provide, SNAP is able to provide anywhere from 9 to 11. So SNAP is really the first line of defense against food insecurity, and that is a federal government program. And if there's one thing that I've certainly learned during the pandemic, it is that the solution to food insecurity, not handling it on a day-to-day basis, but the ultimate solution to food insecurity is absolutely in the hands of the federal government. They need to be willing to increase SNAP benefits. They need to be willing to increase the number of people eligible for those SNAP benefits, and they need to be they need to be willing to roll those benefits out on a permanent basis, not just during emergent times like we had during COVID. So, if the $1 million question is what it's probably more, it's probably a $1 trillion question given the cost of the program, but. How do you solve food insecurity? It starts with the federal government, and it starts with SNAP. Now, that notwithstanding, there's definitely a role for us food banks and for our pantries all across the state of Connecticut, and quite frankly, all across the country. We have a role to play. We have a role to play as well. And you know, we do what we can to supplement what people are able to get with their SNAP dollars.
I know during COVID there were a number of federal programs that went out not to just help with food insecurity, but so many other aspects of day-to-day life were funded, at least temporarily, by the federal government. Has resources from that federal funding, have they run out? Are they going to be renewed?
Yeah, so I think what you're seeing here economically, and I'm not an economist by trade, I'm a political scientist, but what I think what you see here happening in Connecticut and across the country right now is a confluence of a couple of different things. One is that, to answer your question, a lot of those COVID-era benefits that individuals and households received, whether it was a benefit itself or an expansion of an existing benefit, a lot of those have expired. A lot of those have lapsed. A lot of those have gone back to where they were pre-pandemic. So you have that happening. At the same time, you have this national inflation when it comes to products, and then on top of that, you could add in the fact that there are supply chain issues with different products across the market and across the country. So you wrap those three things together: the reduction in benefits with inflation, with supply chain issues, and it's kind of a perfect storm right now. You get into a situation in which, you know, if somebody had a dollar a year ago, they could have bought a can of soup. Right now, you know, a dollar, you know, can't even get you half a can of soup. We feel the same thing here at the food bank because, you know, obviously the cost of the products that we're procuring have gone up. The example I always use, a trailer load of peanut butter, and peanut butter is obviously a staple for us here at our food bank or any food bank. A trailer load of peanut butter costs $7,000 more right now than it did 12 months ago. You know, we're seeing that as we're absorbing that cost as an organization. Consumers are feeling that pinch as well. So it is kind of a perfect storm of economic issues right now.
How are you guys making do? Is it through donations, be it financial or material, people donating food? How are you guys getting by with that challenge of inflation? I mean, just this week, up 9.1% in June of this year over the previous June.
Yeah, it is significant, and I think we're getting hit in a couple of different ways. I think, you know, again, like I mentioned, inflation has certainly affected the cost of the food product that we're procuring, that we're going out and buying. I think the other piece of it is the cost of diesel fuel has risen dramatically. Trucks are our main mode of transportation here. We have a fleet of 18 trucks that are out there all across the state of Connecticut. I was asked by another media outlet last week, what are you going to do if the price of diesel gas keeps going up? And my answer was simple. We're going to keep paying it. I mean, we have no other way of distributing our food. but the cost definitely increases, and it's definitely a burden on us. We also absorb the transportation cost when we purchase product, because the vendor is increasing their cost because their diesel prices have gone up. So you put all of that together, and the answer to your question in terms of how we're surviving, it is only because of the generosity of the people of Connecticut, the individuals, families, corporations, philanthropic organizations. They have all stepped up to the plate and have continued to step up to the plate and donate to us and allow us to make these purchases and allow us to spend money beyond what we had ever planned on spending. The purchased food piece is definitely a complicated piece of all of this, because in normal times, pre-COVID, about 75% of our food was donated by vendors, grocery stores, wholesalers, etc. In the early days of COVID, that went from 75% to zero overnight. I mean, if you remember, I mean, grocery stores couldn't keep products on their own shelves, so they didn't have anything to be able to donate to us. Thankfully, you know, that has climbed up again, but we're still not back to where we were pre-COVID. So what we've had to do is we've had to purchase product, and food banks are not, the business model of food banks is not generally built around purchasing product. This is a very new paradigm for all of us, and it's only been possible because of the generosity of the people and organizations and corporations here in Connecticut.
Are you finding that people and businesses, too, are being more generous in these times of inflation, again, up 9.1% year over year in June? Are you finding they're more generous, the same amount of generosity that you've seen in recent years, even with COVID, or less generous?
I think people have either the same or maybe even slightly more. I think that people understand the nature, and by the way, that answer is not the same for every nonprofit in Connecticut or every nonprofit on the planet. I think it depends upon what's the nature of the work that you're doing. But I think that given the nature of the work that we do, people have been more generous with us because they do realize that, yeah, even though, you know, we're not distributing food at Rentschler Field anymore and we don't have thousands of cars in line during COVID, we are still dealing with an economic crisis, and that economic crisis results in people not being able to have food. So I do think that people have been at least the same, if not slightly more generous over the last couple of months. And we're hopeful that that continues into the, through the summer and into the holiday season and beyond, because that is the only way we're able to continue to do what we do. The difficult thing for us as an organization is, you know, we like to do two things. We like to maintain, but we also like to innovate. Innovation's been really, really tough over these last couple of years because we're spending so much of our budget on just maintaining our current service. So, it's a difficult situation, but we're making it through. And again, there is a significant amount of poverty here in Connecticut. There obviously is great wealth in Connecticut. And I will say that the people that do have the means to donate have absolutely stepped up to the plate and are very concerned about taking care of their neighbors.
I like how you mentioned Rentschler Field, and I remember during the busiest days of COVID-19, that was a very active site. What channels now are you guys using to get food out to the public and people who need it if you've got those big sites that aren't available anymore that were intended for the COVID crisis, but yet we're going through an economic crisis more so now? What are you guys doing to get food out to people?
Yeah, the Rentschler Field type distribution was definitely an emergency distribution model. It is not the most efficient way of distributing food. It is not the most dignified way of distributing food, but it was what we had to do, you know, given the emergency. What we're seeing now is how we're distributing food now is through our network of 650 plus agencies across the state of Connecticut. We've always had a very strong agency network. We have about 550 pantries. We have about 100 mobile truck sites. And what we're seeing is that those pantries are taking more and distributing more food. We're distributing more food at those mobile sites. But that network, which is very strong, is where we're seeing most of the is where we're seeing most of the increase. If you talk to some of the pantries that we serve, they will tell you is, hey, geez, our lines have really increased over the last couple of months. They're hearing it from people. We're hearing it from them, and we're doing everything we can to procure more food and get more food out. But that is our main. We have, again, 650 partner agencies across the state of Connecticut. We've blanketed the state of Connecticut pretty well. They are very active. They are up. They are running. Many of them didn't close during COVID. They're not going to close now, and they're there to help serve people.
I'd like to look at the city of Hartford for a moment, just as an example, not necessarily to pick on them or anything, but as an example. I know that Hartford has a food desert problem, particularly in downtown. So is that an area where you guys focus on distributions?
Absolutely. We have food trucks that go into different neighborhoods there in Hartford. We also have a great network of agencies in Hartford, Hands on Hartford, House of Bread, many, many others that do have a presence there in the community, particularly in downtown Hartford. One of the other things that we have been able to do, too, is we received a $250,000 earmark from Congressman Larson and the federal government as a part of the federal budget to create a neighborhood market, a small neighborhood market in the Frog Hollow neighborhood in Hartford. We are partnering with Forge City Works on that. We had a press conference a couple weeks ago announcing the funding and that we were beginning work on it. And we expect the market to open up in spring of 2023. So, again, we're not only continuing our normal operations, but we're trying to do innovative things like that.
What about ongoing summer shortages? I know that usually around June we start to hear about shortages of donations or perhaps a shortage of volunteers. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And this shocks a lot of people because they usually when they think about us, they think about the holidays, they think about Thanksgiving, they think about Christmas, etc. The hardest time of the year, the busiest time of the year for us is always the summer months. And people are like, "Oh, well, that's when people go on vacation. It should be a relaxing time." It is in many industries, but certainly not in in food banking. During the summer months, you have a couple of things happening. First and foremost, you have kids that aren't in school anymore. And a lot of kids here in Connecticut and across the country get one, maybe two, maybe even three meals a day at school. When school is out, that tends to drop down to zero. So now you suddenly have thousands of new people in this universe of food insecurity. Couple that with the fact that people are on vacation, regular volunteers are on vacation, and our donations are usually the lowest in June, July, and August because, again, people are on vacation. They're not necessarily, thinking about what we do. They tend to make their donations towards the end of the calendar year and around the holidays. You put all those things together, and summertime is a difficult time for us. So anybody out there who's interested in volunteering or spending some time here or at one of our partner programs, we'd very much like to have them because, we definitely do lose some volunteers during the summer.
How do you guys spread word that you guys are out looking for volunteers, that you need them?
We talking to you, Morgan. I mean, that's one way. But we like to say in every interview that we do, we always put in a plug for volunteers. We put it out on our social media site, and we also have a constant list of volunteers that we continue to re-engage with. We have a lot of different companies here in Connecticut too that. They'll give their staff a couple of days off, a morning off or an afternoon off, and have them come on in here and do some work. My friend Glenn Davis and his team over at Liberty Bank were just here one afternoon last week, volunteering. We had Webster Bank here the week before. We've had Quinnipiac University here, UConn. I mean, a lot of different businesses will do that. That's what we rely on. Those are the types. That's the type of workforce that we need. But yeah, I mean, any way that we could spread the word. If you want to sign up to volunteer, you can go to ctfoodshare.org, and they have all of our volunteer shifts on there. And please, it'd be great to have people come by and spend a little time with us. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteers. Our volunteers volunteer enough hours during the year that it would be the equivalent of 28 full-time staff members. And as a nonprofit, we cannot hire 28 additional full-time staff members, so we have to rely on our volunteers.
Jason Jacobowski with us this morning on WTIC, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. He's the president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share. Down to the last few minutes, I do like how you brought up schools and school students, because this was one of my questions for the interview here this morning. Because I'm left wondering, okay, when the schools close in the summer, some of them do remain open at least to help distribute food to students, and some of those students do show up again to get food from that program that some schools offer in the summer, and others don't. So how do you guys go and target students who may need it but don't know that the school offers it, or maybe they feel ashamed? Is that a problem too?
Oh, look, that is always an issue we deal with year-round, not just with kids, but with adults as well. We're fully aware that there is this social stigma out there in terms of some shame associated with being food insecure, and we are constantly telling people that there is no shame in it. This is what we're here for. This is what we do, and this is what we are. You know, this is why we try to be as inviting as possible. We try to ask as few questions as possible. We try to be as unintrusive as possible. We want to be a warm, welcoming environment. In terms of the summer meals program at schools, you're right. I mean, a lot of different school districts here in Connecticut have worked with the State Department of Education, and they do have summer meals programs in which you can go to a school site or some other site and have a grab a lunch. Those are great programs. Those are terrific. Our State Department of Education has been very committed to that for many, many years. The issue is always how many kids know about them. And our role in those programs is usually how can we get the word out to our clients and to people in the communities to let them know where the lunch is being given out, at what time, what location, and that it is a no cost, no questions asked type of distribution. So we promote those on our mobile sites, we promote those at our pantries, we promote those on social media. That's our role in the summer meals program is outreach and helping people be aware of the fact that, you know, where they can get a meal and when.
As we wrap up this morning on Face Connecticut with the president and CEO of Connecticut Food Share, Jason Jacobowski, are there any final thoughts, maybe something we didn't touch on in this quick morning update about what you guys have been up to? Anything we didn't touch on, maybe something that's coming up next you'd like to tell people about?
Well, before we know it, it will be the fall. September is Hunger Action Month. September, we will also celebrate our 40th anniversary here in the state of Connecticut. We have been active here for 40 years at Connecticut Food Share, and it's really an honor for us to do what we do every single day. And we are going to try to take some time in September to reflect on that before getting into the hustle and bustle of Thanksgiving, which, as you know, is always a very busy time of the year. But we're always working. It's a ongoing operation, and the people that work here are terrific. Last thing I always want to say, Morgan, if anybody out there needs help and needs our services, they can go to ctfoodshare.org. We list all of our pantries, all of our mobile truck sites. They can look them all up there. And if they can't remember that website, they can always remember 211. We update United Way info line every single day on what's open and what's not. So if you are in need of assistance, call 211.
Jason, thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Morgan. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.